Why are y'all putting this on me? Stop.
We're not putting this on you. I've seen it firsthand. I'm like, wow.
They said I'm a father. I am not a father.
We're talking about different things. Yes, we're talking about completely different things.
Oh, no, he's definitely a father. Definitely a dad.
To whom?
We don't know, Josh. You keep them under wraps.
You are hiding a child.
Don't you dare call me Aubrey.
Let that boy come home.
First of all, her name is Ashe.
It means power.
All right, shut up. Welcome to the podcast, everyone. My name is Joshua Chapman, a.k.a. Slim Ballard, a.k.a. Baby Giannis, a.k.a. Mr. Take Your Girl in Front Your Face. I'm here with my co-host, as always. First, Jesse Pink, a.k.a. Dolomite P, a.k.a. Baby Samoa Joe, a.k.a. Groovy Grizzly. Why? Because he keeps it rolling, you hoes. Next, it's Kobe Price.
What up?
A.k.a. the homie Kobe, a.k.a. Mr. The Price is Right, a.k.a. Kobe. And last, but certainly not least, Derek Small, a.k.a. D. Smalls, a.k.a. Anthony Mackie Jr., a.k.a. Damn, Derek, where'd you find this pod? Shout out to Dre behind the scenes for the everything behind the scenes and for the intro music. And welcome back to another episode of the It's Just Jokes podcast. We appreciate you guys for checking us out. Please leave us 5-star reviews wherever you listen to your podcasts. Today's episode is an origin story about one of the four of us. And it's about me, y'all. Hi, this guy.
That guy right there. This baby Giannis.
Please say nice things about me, fellow co-hosts.
With the, was this the pink durag?
No.
It is pink. Derek, you just hate it. It's cool.
The light skin heartthrob.
The black Shawn Michaels.
Hey.
No, Josh very much has Shawn Michaels energy. He very, very much so. Very much.
I'm not a heartbreak kid, man. It's I don't know what this image of me.
And the lie detector test has determined.
That's a lie.
Maurice says you are the father.
Whoa, hold on.
You got an announcement?
Why are y'all putting this on me? Stop.
We're not putting this on you. I've seen it firsthand. I'm like, wow. Damn.
They said I'm a father. I am not a father.
We're talking about different things. Yes, we're talking about completely different things.
Oh, no, he's definitely a father. Definitely a dad.
To whom?
We don't know, Josh. You keep them under wraps.
You are hiding a child.
Don't you dare call me Aubrey.
Let that boy come home.
First of all, her name is Ashe.
It means power.
All right, shut up. Well, yeah. I will start by saying this. So, like I said, my name is Joshua Chapman. I'm 23. I will be 24 on October 10th. So, please send me stuff on Cash App for my birthday. $JChapman96, whenever that is. Currently, I live in the DMV area. I'm out here working for the Walter Reed Army Institute of Research facility. I work in the STRATCOM department. I've been here for over a year now. I want to go into screenwriting. I have a couple projects that I'm lining up that I'm trying to work on, all that kind of thing. But yeah, I think that's it's just a little bit about me.
That boy real good at writing. He real good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I done seen him write. Mm-hmm. He got them scripts. He got them scripts on deck. Mm-hmm. Show is. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He be writing the scripts. He be writing the script right there. I tell you, I've seen them at one of them picture shows if I could.
Mm-hmm. The picture shows? Okay.
Man, I guess I'll go first because I've known you. One of my questions for you is where's one of the things like you are interested in, like one of like your biggest hobbies that you do? I know one of them is particularly writing, so it's like what got you into writing?
Honestly, I'm not too good at much else. If I could rely on anything but words to make a living, I promise you I would do it. I promise you. But no, like my mom is a strong writer. My parents had me reading a ton of books as a kid. So, you know, always interested in a story. I originally wanted to go into journalism. Well, before that, it was sports marketing, but then math got involved and I was like, no, I'm okay on that. And so I turned to journalism And I did have a real love for journalism, but somewhere along the way that started to like, started to fade a little bit, just because like I figured out I was telling someone else's story and I wanted to like create stuff. Like I wanted to create my own stories and build a world and do whatever. So that's how I kind of got involved. And then I kept taking more digital storytelling classes. And once it became my major in school, it was just really fun. It was really fascinating. And I could still do sports stuff tangentially, but it wasn't like that was my main focus. So yeah, as I got more and more involved, I was like, this is really cool. And then senior year, I ended up taking a screenwriting class and I loved the hell out of it. It's also, like I said, it is a level of like scariness to it, just because like you, once again, you're relying on something that you wrote and then validation from other people to see your vision or whatever, in order to get started. So, but yeah, like this is definitely something I really enjoy. And in fact, Derek and I worked on a few projects together during college. Jesse helped me film some stuff. Me and Kobe haven't worked together yet, but somehow I'm going to rope him into some project at some point in life. So, you know, I definitely have had a lot of fun doing that. And it's just, like I said, it's scratching a creative itch that I often have. So,
all right. Let me be the Shamar Moore in your Tyler Perry flick.
Oh, I got you. You're going to be the do-good, light-skinned king that works a blue-collar job, and he's just goes to church, pays his tithes, and, you know, but he's just down on his luck a little bit. You know, he just need a place to stay. Just for a little while.
You're going to be the person that shows up at the front door with his shirt off.
Hey, so you get the braids too, bro. You got to get the braids too. You got to get the early 2000 braids.
Can't like, excuse me, miss. I saw that your air tire, the tire on the left side was a little low. I was just wondering if you want me to fix that for you.
Start off just glistening? Just glistening?
Yeah.
I've been looking for a strong black woman all my life. Derek got to be the evil villain because, you know, he's dark skinned. That's how most time.
I'm going to flip the narrative. You're definitely going to be the evil villain in this, Jesse.
I'm going to be the ain't shit nigga, huh? That's crazy.
You're just going to be his sidekick. You're going to be the one making the action move, but Jesse going to be in the back putting it all together. Like, yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
I'm going to hit it. Damn, Tasha, I just came home from work. Can you stop bugging me? Damn, I'm trying to provide for this family. You always nagging me and shit. Damn. Just be mad as hell.
No, but I know you. I know you. You work hard, get paid pretty well, making some money.
Get paid decently well.
Get paid decently, but what do you spend your money on most when you got the extra change on?
Lately, it has been two things. It's been getting my credit card bill down and shoes. Like, just I got some VaporMaxes not too long ago. I got like 3 or 4 pairs of Jordans over the quarantine. I'm getting the Yeezys in October when they drop on the 3rd. I'm getting the Dark Mochas on Halloween. I mean, that and like finding deals for like cologne and stuff like that. I bought like 5 different like bottles of cologne over the quarantine too, but mostly like paying off bills. And I don't like owing people money. So like paying off bills and make sure my shoe game is up.
We don't want to hear about the bills. What's your favorite pair of shoes? I want to hear about your favorite bill. There's no favorite pair of bill. What do you like to paint the most?
Favorite pair of shoes. The Bred 11s are the first J's that I bought. I have a pair of Adidas Crazy 8s, the red ones. That was the first pair of shoes I bought with my own money. I have the purple ones. I don't remember what they're called. I haven't even broke those out the box yet. I'll probably go the 11s just because those are my first pair of J's. I'm like, I still have worn them like maybe 2 or 3 times so far, but the Crazy 8s are always going to be my baby.
This man do got a lot of shoes. I can
have a lot of shoes.
I can. Boy, he showed me like the bins. Like, not only does he have boxes in his closet, but then he has like 2 big like blue bins full of shoes. It's crazy.
Boy, you can't never say Josh ain't no sneakerhead, boy. He love his sneakers.
Yeah, I guess I keep something about like the bed if I'm like, okay, like I'm just throwing on some shoes to go to the grocery store or whatever, and then You know, I rotate them out with whatever is in the closet, in the plastic bins. And then, you know, the really good ones, like my J's and stuff, I keep them in the box so they don't get, you know, scuffed or whatever.
Have you ever considered buying a shoe, like a shoe rack?
Like when I get my own place, I'm going to for sure have it. But, you know, I'm living with family right now, saving some bread and just, you know, staying within the, I don't have a ton of extra space around here that is just mine. But, you know, whenever I get my own place, for sure, I'm going to get it. That's the next thing I'm going to do.
Yeah. So anybody that knows Josh, right? If you're friends with Josh, you know this, that he is really into comic books and comic book films.
Yeah.
He put me on to that whole MCU universe thing. I spent a little over a couple months, you know, watching it, and he got me hip, you know, to everything. So my question is, where did that interest come from, Josh? Like, how did you even get into the MCU and comic books in general? Like, where does that love come from?
So I remember my uncle took me to go see Iron Man when it was in theaters. And it was just so cool. Like, I remember watching and the scene where Iron Man, someone shoots at Iron Man, and he dodges it, and he turns and, like, shoots back at them and is walking away and explodes the tank or whatever. I was like, oh, that's super dope. And the next movie I remember seeing was Avengers, and being a little bit confused because obviously I didn't see, like, Thor, Captain America, and all that kind of stuff. I think I saw Iron Man, too. But kind of being a little bit confused where everyone else is coming from. But from there, I was like, okay, I got to go back and, like, watch all this stuff. And I think that interest just really comes from like I said, I really love stories. And the MCU does a great job at telling a very personal story to the character, right? There's some flaws in that. Like, you know, at the end of the day, it still is comic movie, so there is some, you know, just explosions and fights and stuff that happen. But, you know, their villains aren't always the greatest, but they're so good at telling one character story and arcing that. Like, Iron Man from the beginning of Iron Man 1 to, you know, his last appearance in Endgame, like, his character has shifted so many times, and you understand why his character has changed, right? Like, at first he was just about money, and then he's a superhero, but he's also about himself. And then he's about saving the world, but preventing stuff from happening. And then he's about cleaning up the Sokovia Acts and, like, sort of recognizing that at some point there's going to be a government crackdown. So I have to, like, I'm trying to save this off or keep one hand on the wheel, as he says, you know, and that's a very different story than, like, Thor and the stuff that he's going through, and considering that he's, you know, he's supposed to be the next in line and royalty and all that, and the burden of being the prince and all that sort of stuff. And that's different than Captain America and being a man at a time and all that kind of stuff. So it's really just a love of, like I said, storytelling. Like, there's some really fantastic ideas and ways that they portray on screen that I just really like. And like I said, you know, MCU is a 23, maybe 24 movie. Basically, it's basically movies that are treated like weekly television. You have to watch one in order to understand the other. And if you don't watch Captain America Winter Soldier, then you don't quite get Civil War. And if you don't quite get Civil War, then you're not going to really get Infinity War and why there's a hesitation for Tony Stark not calling, you know, Cap at the beginning of the movie and, like, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I know when I saw Iron Man, the first one, I was just like, shit, busted. I was like, hold on. Yeah, I was like, this shit cold. Sure. I was like, I gotta watch all the other ones just based on the strength of that one. I mean, yeah, it was no question at all. No, I feel that. Like, they really do a good job of that storytelling, because I know whenever I'm watching an MCU movie, aside from a couple, they're pretty engaging. So
yeah. Incredible Hulk is terrible. Like, we don't speak about that movie. It's so bad.
It wasn't the greatest, you know.
So that bad. Was before they found themselves.
Yeah.
They didn't know who they were yet. They were like a baby at that time. They didn't even mature into, I guess, but now they're a young adult. Maybe you want to call them a teenager.
Yeah.
I mean, at least they're not DC. Just fumbling everywhere.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah.
Well, we tell the truth on this podcast, so.
Tell the truth.
We always tell the truth.
Yeah.
We always tell the truth, but we always come with more questions to ask Josh. And I got one that's like a subsection of questions. So if you also know Josh Chapman, you also know he's really into wrestling too. You will know that he is so, his affinity for wrestling is so enormous that he has even compiled a document of all his favorite matches that shows not only the sheer athleticism for today's current WWE superstars, but also the storylines. You also follow Josh on Twitter. You will also know that Josh also every now and again comes up with different types of storylines that he thinks the WWE should go with. And he's not even afraid to retweet them and tell them, this is what you should do. My question for Josh is kind of similar to Derek, but it's a little bit more on the wrestling side, which is where, and I can kind of surmise where it's going to come from, which is just the love of storytelling. But can you tell us more about why, like, what piqued your interest into wrestling? What is your favorite wrestling match? And who is your favorite wrestler?
Oh, so three questions in one. Cool. I'm going to write these down so I remember that. So what piqued my interest into wrestling, I remember I was flipping channels one night. It was a Friday night, and a very privileged kid had a TV with cable in my room. But I was flipping through the TV, and I caught the end of SmackDown, and it was Rey Mysterio versus the Great Khali. And if you know anything about either of those two, there it's a hysterically large like size gap between the two. Like, one of them is a 7'4", 400-pound dude, and the other one is a 5'6", 175 soaking wet, like, maybe. And Khali was performing a move where he essentially, like, squeezed Mysterio's head, and then Batista ran out. And Batista was, I had never seen anyone like Batista. Batista, during his heyday in wrestling, was 6'6", 295 pounds, like, no body fat really on it. Like, he dude is just jacked. And he ran out to make the save and all that kind of stuff. And that was just the end of it. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. Like, this is so cool. Like, I just want to, like, I can't, it's kind of crazy. Like, what's going on? Like, I just never seen anything like that. So that's kind of where I got intrigued. Became a huge wrestling fan. My dad ended up, shout out to him, he took me to two live events. He took me to Monday Night Raw, and he took me to a Friday Night SmackDown. I don't exactly remember what happened on Raw when we went. I remember the SmackDown was before WrestleMania 24. It was Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair against Edge's La Familia, and The Undertaker came out. And I remember that specifically because it's the only time I've ever seen Undertaker in person. And you hear the gong and the lights go out, and I was just screaming at the top of my lungs as a little kid, like, he's here. I was so excited. And all of a sudden, Undertaker's in the middle of the ring, and I was just like, yo, like, that's so, and, you know, cleaning house and all that kind of stuff. So my favorite match, that's really, really hard. There's so many good matches. I would say I think the best match, WWE match I've ever seen, was Undertaker Shawn Michaels at 25. Like, that just had, like, that was the first pay-per-view my parents allowed me to buy. I was screaming in the living room at the top of my lungs. And it was, like you said, it was such, like, good storytelling in it. Like, you know, they had a fantastic build-up to that match with Shawn Michaels and Undertaker being, like, polar opposites of each other. The entrances were on point. Shawn's coming down from the rafters. Undertaker's ascending, essentially, it looks like, from the depths of hell. Shawn is in all white, Undertaker's in all black, like, all that sort of stuff. And, like, the sheer emotions of the match, it was a fantastically called, I'm actually getting goosebumps thinking about that, I don't know why, but it was a fantastically called match, like, all that sort of stuff. And it was, again, I was new to wrestling, but that was one of the first times, even going back, that you legitimately felt that Undertaker's undefeated streak was in jeopardy, right? Like, Batista was sort of the beginning of that, just because, you know, it was such a physical match and you could see why, but, like, you know, in retrospect, it doesn't really feel right. Edge, maybe, as a heel, but, like, Shawn is billed as Mr. WrestleMania, so it would kind of make sense if he were, and like I said, it was just such a fantastically built match. I think that was the best, but, you know, I have a lot of favorites. Like, it's, you know, Brock Lesnar always puts on a great match, or usually does at least. Roman is super underrated in terms of his ability to work a really good match. Finn Balor, who one of my nickname sakes comes from, I like him a whole bunch. He's done really great work since he's been back in NXT, and even when he was on the main roster, I think that they sort of I don't want to say neutered, but they mishandled him a little bit. He could have been handled a little bit better, but, you know, he's really great. Bray Wyatt is a fantastic storyteller with great vision and all that sort of stuff. So there's a lot of, you know, Drew McIntyre, I can keep going on. There's a lot of, like, really good athletes and really good storytellers in WWE. It's just on them to build a story worth caring about and then giving those guys time in the ring to tell that story. Yeah, and I also listed some of my favorite wrestlers. My favorite of all time is Batista. But there's, like I said, there's a lot of really, really good wrestlers out in WWE today. So, yeah.
Undertaker, Shawn Michaels. I remember watching that one. Not in the moment, because I didn't watch it. I don't believe I watched it WrestleMania live, but I remember watching it like months later. Because people, I heard the whole hype, like, oh my gosh, this match was so great. It's amazing. We're like, well, yeah, it probably was great. It probably was a really great match. Because it's like, it's Undertaker and Shawn Michaels. Like, of course, duh. Then I watched it. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
This is the greatest match that I've seen, like, ever. And that was, what, 2008, 2009?
Yeah.
So that was probably hands down the greatest match I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Hands down.
But before we get out of here.
I was going to say, before that, Derek recently watched it, because I've been bringing Derek back up to speed. I remember we watched it. What did you think of that?
No, like when Josh said the entrances were on point, dog. Seeing Sean come down from, like, the Raptors in that – didn't he have on, like, a white jacket or something?
Cause it was, yeah, he had basically, like, all white. It was a little bit of gold, too.
It was supposed to be, like, a heavenly aesthetic or whatever, I remember. Mm-hmm. Like, bro, like, that whole thing. And then the Undertaker, his entrances, Josh will tell you, every time I react to the Undertaker's entrance, it's the same. Like, I'm just in awe every single time. But I think what made it so great for me – was not only the promotion coming into the match, but just like Josh mentioned, how polar opposites they were and how that kind of like fed into the match and how they played off each other. I could just say that, like, I was just so captivated, like, from start to finish with just how, you know, the Undertaker would get down for a moment, but then all of a sudden, you know, Sean will come back with something, right? Like, you'll think Sean's taking control and all of a sudden something will happen, or, you know, vice versa. And, you know, I just want to apologize to everybody that I've ever made fun of watching wrestling, because I've been
watching. It's so good.
It's so good. Like, Josh will tell you, I have friends.
I don't want to get too far off topic, but I remember showing Derek the fatal four-way, as our intro, the fatal four-way between Brock Lesnar, Samoa Joe, Braun Strowman, and Roman Reigns. And I was like, you don't need a whole bunch of build-up for this, but it's four men, and the smallest of them weighs 265 pounds. And it's a 20-minute just constant, like, car crash. There's always something happening. And afterwards, he looked at me and was like, okay, I'm in. I get it. Like, I understand
that. I was invested from that moment on. I was invested, so.
I will say that a recent favorite of mine is Ricochet versus Velveteen Dream at, I think, TakeOver Chicago 2. I think that's the one. I'm not exactly sure. But those two, because there's nothing but, like, really just pride on the line between the two of them, right? Like, Velveteen Dream is this super Rick Rude-esque character, this super, like, flamboyant and, like, I'm the best. And Ricochet is a real flippy sort of gent or whatever. And Velveteen takes exception. He's like, anything you can do, I can do. Like, I can do it better, whatever. And they just have this 20-minute match where they're just trying to, like, upstage each other. And it's so good, and it's great storytelling. And it was a great introduction to Ricochet, because I didn't know too much about him before that. But it was also, like, showing that, like, what Velveteen was about and how, you know, your ego can get in the way of, because he had the match won at some point, and then he tried to do a super flamboyant move and he missed, and that's what caused him to, like, lose the match. So it's little storytelling things like that that I really definitely enjoy.
Love Ricochet. That's my guy. That's one of my favorite guys right now. But before we hop out of here, We all got to tell a story. We all got to tell a Josh story. I don't know where to start, because me and Josh, for context, we've known each other for a while. Like, we met, I guess, the first time, probably 7 or 8 years old, going to summer camp together. But then we really didn't reconnect again until maybe like into high school, beginning of college.
Yeah, and somewhere around there, somewhere around like senior year of high school.
Right. And we've just been tight since. So I guess I want to go back. Like, the first story is always the best story, right? Like, usually this is how it goes. So I'm going to go back to the first. Like, this is when we really, like, ever since this day, we stayed in touch. So at the time, you know, I'm feeling good about myself. I'm the assistant manager at Vector Marketing, the branch located in Oak Lawn. And Josh hits me up. He DMs me. He's like, hey, man, I think you hear that asking if you could get interviewed there, or you said that you had an interview there, something along those lines. One of those
two. I don't remember. I thought you hit me. Because I thought that was part of your job.
It could have been. I could have hit you up.
I think that's what happened. And I was like, I haven't heard from Kobe in a while. Like, okay.
Yeah. You know what? That actually sounds right. Fair enough. So you came in for the interview looking good, looking sharp with the suit and everything. Never saw you again after
I did after one day of training. No. I did one day of training. Right. And I was like, nah. Some don't feel right here.
I hit Josh up the next day. I DM'd him and was like, Josh, where'd you go? He was like, nothing. No response. I saw the bubbles pop up. He's like, let me not say it yet. No, but it happened like that. But it was funny. Seeing him come in, then I was like, the next day he's like, he's gone. The manager asked me, was like, what's happening? I was like, I don't know. He maybe just wasn't for him. It's like, it's not for everybody. But I was like, Josh, I don't blame you, man. Get out of there.
He was like the nigga and Get Out, like, get out of here, get out, leave.
I shook your hand like, good seeing you again, Josh. You see the car, little note in there. Don't come back. Nah, shout out to those days. Those were the good days.
But yeah, me and Kyle been tight since then. You know, talked about, you know, a bunch of life stuff. Did 2 episodes of a podcast that one of them only aired, one episode ever aired, but always, you know, talking about, you know, sports, all that kind of stuff. Especially when especially when it comes to football and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, like, definitely, you know, obviously all three of y'all are my good friends, but, you know, Kobe's been real solid.
Life, sports, probably one of the only few people I know who probably watches more wrestling than me at this point in our lives.
Yeah. I would always say, from a bird's view, like, Kobe's and Josh's relationship is, if I can label it down to one word, it's sports. It is sports. It's, you know, them guys, they talk about whether it's football, basketball, baseball, even hockey. Like, you know, they talk about either from the players, the players' capabilities and skills, to the coaches and GMs, to the management, to the organization, to the buyouts and trades. They know in and out of it. So I will always say, for Kobe and Josh, it's a brotherhood, but it is a very much of, like, these brothers, like, pretty much connect through sports. But I wonder how – I'm very curious for you, Derek. Like, how is it between you and Josh? Like, what's your story between you and Josh, man?
Dog, where do I even start? So, for context, I've known Josh since 2015. We both attended Mizzou. It's weird to say, but Josh is like a big little brother. If that's a thing, I don't know. He's taller than me, you know. So that's one, obviously. Okay, for you all that can't see, you know, he's flexing because quarantine just made him into a whole different nigga. Apparently.
Okay, it started when I came out here, because I got my gym membership and all that. It didn't just start out.
No, but Josh been real since I met him. We were both in a program called Mizzou Black Men's Initiative, which was sort of like a mentorship program for incoming Black freshman males. I wasn't even his mentor, which is the hilarious part of all this. But, you know, I could just tell he was a real one, and that, you know, he would be a good person to have in your corner. And everything like that. And, you know, from classes to eating lunch at Dobbs, rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Dobbs.
You know, I could just, he was just always, you know, a real one with me. And I always appreciated that. But in terms of my favorite memory, I'm going to just go to a consistent one. More so memories, if you will. Sunday dinners. Man. One, because the boy fed me. All right. Listen, I'm broke, y'all. I was broke in college. I'm still broke. Look, I didn't know how I was going to eat. All right. I'm going to be honest. And your boy came through. All right. So, you know, he would cook for, you know, our friend group, you know, pretty much almost every
time. It started off on Thursdays and then it moved to Sunday.
Yeah. You know, he'd come through with the baked chicken, you know, the sides, you know, all that good stuff. But I just remember just like the fellowship that we had at those dinners, right? Just talking about life, laughing, playing hot seat with some of our other friends.
Man, listen,
One time we all got into, it was like the boys and the girls that were at the dinner got into an argument about Adam and Eve, right? And about like that whole thing, which was.
That was the silliest shit I've ever heard in my life.
We still got the footage too, which is like crazy.
I'm not gonna indict people on that. I'm not gonna repeat.
He showed it to me the other day, and it was still funny to like today. But no, just those dinners like in general were really fun. You know, just talking about life, like I said, and just seeing how we've created that bond. You know, from his freshman year of college to now, has just been crazy. And I can't say I have too many. Actually, you know, let me take that back. I have people who support me, but Josh has been a friend who is really, really, really supportive. Like, let me not make it sound like my life is terrible. Like, all right, I have people who support me, but I
nobody. This nigga started sounding like the Joker. Like, I used to think that my life was a tragedy. It's like, all right, Derek. Like,
and who can support you? No like one, me? Nobody.
I'm dead. No,
but you supported me.
If anybody's gonna rock with you as a friend, just know it's Josh. Like, real talk. So, no, that would be my favorite memory. Just those dinners, and how fun those were. You know, on Sundays.
Yeah, I guess that memory that you have with Josh, you know, those Sunday dinners, that's a very familial memory, you know, and you even opened up with talking about how Josh is more of like the little big brother for you, you know, and so when I look at your relationship, it always looks like that type of like, you know, that brotherhood, that type of familial brotherhood, you know, like this is, I'm big bro, but like, you know, like one of those classic cases of I'm the oldest. But like he's taller than me, so like this is big bro. And
the nigga like 6'5". I'm 5'10". Like what the fuck?
Yeah. I understand that, you know. I can understand like so when I can understand like what you're saying when you're talking about that type of dynamic that you have with Josh. So when I see you and Josh, I always see that type of like familial type of relationship. It's kind of similar to what me and Josh relationship has been for decade, bud. We've been doing this for a decade. And our origin pretty much starts at Lynn Bloom Math and Science High School, the greatest high school in Chicago public school system.
Hands down.
And at first, we didn't really talk at all. We had literally a very Tom and Jerry relationship. Like, very much Tom and Jerry. I'll be talking to somebody in the hall, you know, I'm just talking and all that, you know. And then I'll look down the hall. You know, at this time, Josh was shorter. You know, he's still as tall as I don't know what at this time. And he's just looking at me. He'll see me down the hall. And then I'll turn, I'll see him. And it'll just be a dead stare for like 5 seconds. And then I'll run, and then he'll follow me. And we did that all the time. Until eventually one day, we just stopped. And he was like, why are we running? Like, I don't know, man. Like, how are you?
It's like if the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote were like, why do you keep doing this? Like,
yeah, like he's actually a nice guy when you get to know him. And unfortunately, I got to know the niceness of Josh and the greatness of Josh through a very unfortunate tragedy. One of our closest friends, Savon Smith, unfortunately passed away at the young age of meningitis. That was a mutual friend for me and Josh. Yeah, like about 15 or 16.
Yeah.
And you know, that really like hit me and Josh, because Savon was someone that we mutually knew. Me and Josh never hung out with Savon together, but that was someone who we both knew. And from then, you know,
man, we connected very well. Not to cut you
off. Go ahead, man, because that hit us. That hit the entire student body.
Man, I remember that was probably the toughest day. Not probably, that was the toughest day I ever had in high school. Because they sort of announced it to us at the end of the day. And so we had, you know, we were on a block schedule. So our last class was 100 minutes. And so they announced it damn near at the beginning of that in 100 minutes. And like, I remember being in geometry, and we just didn't do geometry for the rest of the day, right? Like, obviously, like, there's no way to really, you know, sit there and go on with the lesson plan. But I remember consoling so many people that day. And I remember seeing Jesse. And I was, because I knew how close Jesse and Savon were. So I was like, I got to go find Jesse. Like, I got to go see if he's okay. And I remember us talking and be like, yo, are you good? And he was like, yeah, I'm okay. And I knew he was lying, but I also knew that, like, it was one of those that, like, I don't really want to talk about this right now. Like, I appreciate you reaching out, but, like, I don't even know where I'm feeling type things. And I understood that. But, yeah, from then on, like, Jesse and I have been super duper close.
Yeah, and we were able to initiate, you know, such an inaugural get-together with one of my first musical events. We went to Lollapalooza together. Boy, that was so funny, man. Mm-hmm. We went to the Lollapalooza concert that year when Eminem was headlining because he made Marshall Mathers LP 2. Mm-hmm. And we stood at one of the stage that he was going to be at.
We literally walked around, looked at all the stages, we got food, and then we were like, this lineup kind of sucks. So we're just gonna go stand at this stage.
Yeah, I think Iggy Azalea was performing that year, and it was just like, ain't nobody going there. So we literally stood in front of that stage, and we stood there, and we were able, because we got there super early. We were able to have a clear view. Now, when the sun went down, and M was next. Literally, we felt the crowd push up, and we were even closer. And it was around this time, too, we realized that we didn't have any water until the last time, like, we had some food. You know, Josh met a stranger, and I hope this stranger is alive, doing well, doing great things. That stranger passed Josh some water. I didn't want none because I was just like, ew, no. But it was also because I was getting really high because the person next to me was just smoking. So I was just sitting over here like,
smoking that smoke.
And of course, like, M rocked it, bro.
He brought out Rihanna.
He did old songs. He does new songs. He came back and he did an encore because he did Lose Yourself.
Yeah.
I remember after we were done, me and Josh, we went through all the adrenaline. We was rapping. We was hype. We was happy. And it was just like, I need water.
If y'all could, like, I do not exaggerate. I felt like, y'all remember the episode of SpongeBob where they're, like, proving the point to Sandy that they can, like, or where SpongeBob was like, you know, like, I don't need, like, that's how we felt, like, legitimate. I don't need it. And then we got done, we were like, I need it. Like,
and I needed it so bad that when we went to the store that, you know, to get water, I literally remember grabbing two of them. Josh remembers me grabbing two of them, and on my way to the counter, I'm already down in one of them.
He grabbed a water and a vitamin water, and I blinked, and that vitamin water was just gone. I'm like, Jesse, we black. Like, we can't do that here. Like, we downtown. Like,
they didn't stop. Like, I said, pay for it. Like, he brought that water. Then I was in the back of the car with him because Pops picked us up. Shout out to Pops. Got some cheese pizza. And I was just like, man, this was a great time. So, guess my relationship with Josh, man, it's a true strong brotherhood. It's an inauguration of a lot of things, man, but it's definitely like a true brother. I would definitely say Josh is a true brother.
I appreciate you. Well, it's super hard to like just sit here and take compliments and be like, yay, this doesn't feel awkward whatsoever. But I appreciate you guys for sure. So yeah, to all of our listeners, that's a little bit about me. And that'll do it for this episode. So thank you all for listening. Thank you to my co-hosts, Derek Small, Kobe Price, and Jesse Pink. Thank you to Dre behind the scenes. We appreciate you, sir. Thank you to Kingboy and Jay Alizier for the outro music. We appreciate you guys. This is fire. And please tune in next episode. We will continue on with the origin stories. This is part 1 of 4. And so if you guys are interested, my Twitter is at TheCreativeJC. My Instagram is jchapman10_96. Don't really use Facebook, whatever. And the for the podcast, it is at jokes_podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and we have a Facebook page. So please go follow those, and we will see you all next time. This too hot, Scorpio.